Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pull the Trigger, the 18th episode. I'm your host, Trigger, with founding members of Trash Rocket, Hodge and Monster.
Hey!
It's our weekly deep dive into albums from Apple's top 100 albums of all time that sort of helped shape everyone, shook us, and hopefully speak some truth today. The headlines that I have for music kind of relate to what we're going to talk about today. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2025 inductees just dropped. Cyndi Lauper, Soundgarden, Outkast, Chubby Checker, Joe Cocker, The White Stripes, and Bad Company are the artists getting into the Hall of Fame.
Still no Joy Division and New Order, but whatever. They were up this year.
Yeah, that was their second nomination. Yeah. Motorhead's been up for one, didn't get in. Iron Maiden, 11 times. 11 times. Not in.
Wow.
But those first two were cool. You said Cyndi Lauper and Soundgarden.
And then he, I think Bruce just said, stop nominating us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for Iron Maiden?
Yeah. It's like we're not going to get in. In reggae news, which definitely applies today, Ziggy Marley announced a tribute tour for what would be Bob Marley's 80th birthday next year. Expect deep cuts, big crowds. And for The Clash, there's going to be a deluxe analog remastered of London Calling. On the way, original tapes, restored packaging, and yes, it is on heavyweight vinyl. Ooh. Vinyl fans like myself can rejoice. Tonight's episode, though, is going to be about resistance, rebellion, and two albums that don't just soundtrack a movement, they ignite one. We're going to be talking about The Clash's London Calling, Bob Marley and the Wailers' Exodus. Punk and reggae, different continents, different sounds, but both records are fighting the same fight. They ask, what does it mean to stand up for what's right? So let's get into it. Of course, the theme we're going to be looking at first is standing up for what's right, The Clash, London Calling. And Bob Marley's Exodus have shared themes. Resistance and Rebellion, both albums are steeped in a rejection of the status quo, whether it's Marley's confronting colonial oppression and political violence, or The Clash raging against economic inequality and cultural decay. It's the voice for the voiceless. Each artist gives voice to marginalized people, urban youth in post-industrial England, which is London Calling, and the oppressed masses in post-colonial Jamaica, Exodus. Urgency and Change. Both albums were released in a time of massive societal tension, the late 70s, and both artists saw music as a tool for change. Excuse me.
You're excused.
So London Calling comes out in 1979. Hey, that's a pretty good year.
Why?
Tone and context. Post-punk anxiety meets political outrage. Britain's decline, economic turmoil, rising unemployment, racial tensions, disillusioned youth. And my first reaction to when I saw this being the only punk album on the list was, of course, they picked London Calling because there was no other good punk rock records. But at the same time...
Wait.
At the same time, when I listened to this album, there ain't a bad track on it. No. Like, I can't get mad at it. I mean, it's a beautiful album. It's brilliant. Is it really all that punk rock? Lyrically, yes. Sonically, no.
I never considered.
Yeah.
Clash as punk.
I mean, that's just. I mean, like the first record, sure, but after that, yeah, they kind of. Well, they even said that they couldn't play at that tempo, especially the drummer, because he had a severe alcohol problem. So he would be too drunk at the shows. He was like, "I can't play that fast."
So. One of those bands, right? We know many bands that started off punk and then
they kind of evolved.
Evolved. Not to take away from those who stay with punk, you know.
But yeah, that was.
It's a very.
Sort of like Beef energetic. Jerky turned into the Transmitters, sort of.
Yes.
Right?
I guess.
Did not. Good pull.
Mm-hmm. Key themes that we're going to be looking at, though, in this particular album, Decay of an Empire, the title track references London as a crumbling imperial center. Political awareness, clampdown, critiques fascism and capital exploitation could not apply to anything we're talking about today's world. Mm-hmm. Identity and belonging, Spanish Bombs connects the English punk movement with the Spanish Civil War, solidarity across the borders, We have Moral Urgency. The whole album feels like a call to action. Get informed, get angry, and do something. On their first record, they have a song called White Riot, which got a lot of people all up in arms because they thought it was a nationalist song. And they said, did you even read the lyrics? It's calling out white people for sitting on the sidelines and doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Said that the black people were not afraid to get up and stand up for what's right. White people need to do the same.
Get up.
Those silly gooses.
They're very silly.
So we've been there. So the musical range, of course, of this album, you're going to hear ska, rockabilly, reggae, punk. Mm-hmm. It reflects the diversity of the band's message. It's not just sonic experimentation. It's inclusive rebellion. That's what I've got there. Mm. Exodus, what did I hear with that? It was recorded in 1977. It's recorded in exile after Marley survived an assassination attempt. It's deeply spiritual and political, split between the movement of side A and the redemption and love of side B. Mm. Key themes that I heard there, political struggle. Exodus is a biblical metaphor for liberation. Marley invites people to leave Babylon, which was oppression, and seek Zion, which is freedom. Uplift through unity, one love, three little birds, songs that reassure, unify, and inspire resilience. Revolution as destiny, guiltiness, the heathen, show Marley's belief that oppressors will face justice, no escape from truth. I want y'all to note one thing, though, that Marley mixes confrontation with comfort. He doesn't just point out the problem, he offers hope. So here are some questions that I kind of wanted to ask as a discussion to see what we think on this. Because, again, I'm trying to keep this podcast short today. Mm-hmm. No offense to the listeners. It is hot as blazes so in hot. Here.
I'm so hot. It's, wait.
You're so hot, Hodge.
I mean, yeah, it's no longer like
Trigger,
sexy hot.
You're so hot.
It's no longer sexy hot. Monster, it's stanky
you're so
hot.
Monster.
Vain. Oh.
You're so vain. Dang it. I didn't think of that.
So, how do you think that both of these particular albums use history and politics to empower the listeners today? Mm. That was a good question that I was, you know, popping in to try to figure out something to ask. For me, Clampdown on London Calling is an obvious choice to talk about for today, at least when we talk about current policies that have people getting jets in political favor. And it turns out that that particular jet has some serious mechanical issues.
Oh, really?
And they tried to give it away on multiple occasions. Its fuel mileage is terrible. And it barely works.
Is there... are some of those problems like spy equipment...
Possibly. But
guessing.
Also...
And the thing about the solar panels that have remote... What do you call it? Chinese... remote kill switches.
Oh, well, it's an interesting...
I'm not back here. I should be... They said that they've discovered something like that, too.
Well, that's nice. But also interesting enough, you know, we have the Supreme Court saying you cannot deport people without due process.
And yet
they're not bringing
exactly.
them back.
Dude, that's
definitely a sign of fascism. Mm-hmm. If you saw the tweet on April 9th, it says, if you do not retaliate, you will be rewarded. Mm-hmm. Retaliate from what?
What's coming?
What do we not need to retaliate against?
And that very unnecessary birthday parade that's coming.
Oh, yeah, the military parade. It just happens to, ironically and coincidentally, be on our president's birthday.
It's awful.
Couldn't be linked.
And then, but we also have to tell your 11-year-old daughter that you can't get 30 dolls for Christmas. You can only get two.
You only get two.
What's that referencing? I may have missed something.
That's what he said with these tariffs. He said, well, the economy
stink
a little bit. Your 11-year-old daughter will just have to get two dolls. She doesn't need 30. Well, he's throwing himself a military parade and getting a $400 million jet that he's going to deck out with gold.
Can't anybody just say no? Oh, wait. That'd
but, yeah, that was kind of where I went with that particular thing. And if you see in history in general, the clampdown, we've seen it, you know, in Babylon. You've seen it. In Nazi Germany, you saw it in Mongolia. We've seen it time and time and time and time again. In fact, there are 75 million people who are directly related to Genghis Khan, the leader of Mongolia at the time.
That's right.
There's only 3 million people currently living in Mongolia. Yeah. I'm going to say he might have been a busy man.
Nah. I heard he was an upstanding man.
Busy not listening to the word no.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to think about how do we think music like this today carries this kind of social weight. I'm going to tell you, and I have a very weird and strange opinion on this.
Oh, man.
And
this is the place to be.
The reason I say that is because these albums are, at least the first half of Exodus and all of London Calling, are pretty heavyweight critical albums.
Yes.
And I'm going to say that in today's musical world, we're not getting enough of this.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
We're getting Green Day, who's stepping up a little bit.
Yeah, that was a good... What, American Idiot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But where is that old political U2 who wrote War?
The new album coming out. No, I don't know. I'm just kidding.
At this point, I'm kind of like, hey, Pearl Jam, remember all that stuff you were saying in 93 about Ticketmaster? We kind of need you to step up and do more than just Ticketmaster at this point.
Mm-hmm. They're going to do a Down with Ticketmaster tour next year with The Cure.
I wonder if there's like something brewing, but...
Yeah, you know, but that's kind
sweet,
of...
sweet, right?
Well, no, I'm kind of looking at those two bands in particular. I'm like, if you all ever needed to come back to your roots, both of those bands right now, I'm like, yeah, we kind of need you.
That's what I'm saying. You get The Cure, you get Pearl Jam on an anti-Ticketmaster tour. Because
Tom
Robert
Morello.
Did
Rage, I was going to say.
Yeah, where are you at, Tom? We kind of need you.
I know in live performances, they've called out Trump.
You got Bruce Springsteen. Who
definitely called him out.
If he gets arrested, I'm going to know that's not an accident.
Yeah. When he gets back to this,
we'll bail him out.
Yeah, when he gets back to the States,
as a collective.
Yeah, I think all of America's going to be like, you know what?
Yeah.
Because that speech was in, like, he's in Europe right
now.
Yeah,
when
Europe. He gets back to the U.S., watch what happens.
But if he gets detained, I would not be surprised.
We love that man.
But that's kind of my issue, and is I feel, how does this music still today carry this kind of social weight? I don't think they carry the social weight, because when I talked about it, even, you know, with some of the younger kids we were talking about, I said, well, what podcast are we going, to do on your podcast? I said,
right.
The Clash and Bob Marley, and the kids kind of had understood who Bob Marley was, and it was kind of sad, because they had always, for years, known who Bob Marley was, and they explained, you know, Bob Marley's arguably one of the most successful artists ever. From 1990 to 2010, worldwide, nobody sold more records than the guy, and he died in 83.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he's big. And I said, The Clash is arguably Britain's most successful punk band ever in terms of sales. Influential? I still got, I know that's going to piss off a lot of people. I still got to go Sex Pistols. I think the Sex Pistols definitely, because if you look at it, The Clash heard the Sex Pistols. They changed from a bar band to a punk rock band. The Damned heard the Sex Pistols, and they changed from a bar band to a punk rock band. Mm. And then, of course, both of those bands expand well beyond punk.
What's a bar band?
You know, like, mm-hmm. I guess like 70s sort of British blues.
I think, or like here, like the Colonial Tavern, those bands that play for an hour covers and then we're going to take a break. We are back. Right?
No, that was, but they were
different
saying,
kind of bar band.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, okay.
Sort of like the 70s style English pub.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they saw the Sex Pistols and they knew that they had to change because it wasn't going to work.
They had to move to Seattle.
The Damned put out a single before the Pistols, but the Pistols have been around long.
Yeah.
Because right? They even say that, yes.
Mm-hmm. The next question that I had to ask, and how do you think these records differ in how they express resistance? I thought that was a pretty easy question. I mean, The Clash stays angry.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say Clash is more confrontational. Bob Marley is more about love and
peace. Yeah, the only break you get sonically is Train in Vain, but then when you listen to the lyrics, it's still not a break. They're very, very careful in the way they approach it. Lost in the Supermarket, that's another great subtle hint and dig at overt capitalism.
Yeah.
And it's just beautifully arranged. I think that's one of the best arranged songs by any band ever. I love how that song's arranged.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so gentle and it's such a surprise to hear like that chorused guitar.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're all dying in here. That's why this podcast is probably just about over.
Monster's using her.
Sorry, folks.
Monster's using her winter.
Yeah, her golf
her mutant
swing.
Powers to control the weather like Storm.
Yeah.
To send air.
Trying to get some current in
so,
here.
So, yeah. We're,
thank you, Storm.
Thankfully,
the weather
cooler. Thankfully, we're our last question here after the next
Whoa,
this one.
Ring, what are you doing here?
No, the difference that I hear, though, with Bob Marley is he does one half of just anger. Like the Exodus side, for sure. Anger.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Then you get the Three Little Birds side, which is kind of like...
Love and resistance.
Yeah, like, hey, it's you know, things can suck now, but you know what? We're going to get through it.
Right.
And that's kind of how Bob Marley's geared himself anyway. But a lot of reggae, when you listen to them, are like that. You can have the real pissed off reggae, and then the next song they can say, hey, it's okay to be pissed off because it's going to be all right in the end. Hey, you can't stay mad. Staying mad doesn't get the job done.
I felt that way when we saw U2 and Damian Marley was opening.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen reggae done in an arena before. It was like, oh, I can see how this works. And they started off with Confrontation, which samples Bill Goldberg's theme. But it was amazing.
I mean,
that guy that kept
that particular
the flag.
Album is
Welcome to Jamrock.
Oh my God, killer! But the
it was good. It was awesome.
The build. Ina Kamosi, is that who? I just want to close to you. Ooh, is that Ina Kamosi? I forget. But they sampled his song.
Right.
Not that one. To make Welcome to Jamrock. Super great.
No.
It was a super killer show, though. Like, I thought that was probably the best opener I've seen for U2, period.
And Damien had a guy just following around, a tall guy, was waving a flag.
Waving
and did
the
not
Jamaican
stop
flag.
For the
did
whole
not
time.
Stop for the entire
you saw,
that,
you saw the sweat stains starting. He
I
just
was
kept
like,
going.
Dude, that guy's going.
It was good. I looked at you. And like, is this
if you listen to that Damien Marley albums now, they just don't have the same.
It was like
bite.
That one album was like, wow, what happened here?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Now he just sounds like his dad.
We should do that in the future. Yeah.
And Ziggy's always sounding like his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, the difference is pure anger versus showing two sides of, hey, you can be angry, but, you know, you got to have joy in the fact that, hey, any success at all, you got to celebrate.
And we need to move forward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then... The last question that I have before we do our outro, because, folks, it is brutal.
We haven't even started the track by track yet. Hey, Hodge, screw you. Okay.
We will do a track by track in a cooler situation.
Okay.
Does Hope, as in the Exodus album, or Anger in the London Calling album, make for a more powerful protest album?
Well, the thing that you said, hope and anger, let's take this to, what would you prefer, the Jedi or the Sith?
That is a good question, and I feel it totally depends on the situation and the mood you're in. Because at certain times, I want to listen to a pissed off song.
Yeah, exactly.
If I've had a really bad day at work, I don't want to get in my car, three little birds sit by my doorstep. Mm-hmm. That's not the song I'm trying to listen
to. I don't... you know, get up and read political stuff every day, but I'm becoming aware of things, and it's like every day there's something about our current president.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I see ultimately the idea like love or something. Mm-hmm. Or like you say, more Martin Luther King than Malcolm X, or going fantasy here, that the mirror is Professor X and Magneto.
Mm-hmm.
Because that always mirrored the racism. That's what mutants were about in Marvel. But seeing that like, but then just like, some days you just want to get angry and say something. Like where everybody bites their tongue. Like, no, someone needs to not bite their tongue and say what needs to be said. But
yep.
as long as we can ultimately get back to love and resistance. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Resilience.
That was my Hodge talk, and I'm.
As a wise poet once said, "Is everybody sucks and everything's fucked."
Who's my wise poet?
I believe his name was Frederick Durst.
No, okay. Yeah, right. Frederick Durst.
He's good old Frederick.
Good old Frederick
Durst.
He has a studio here in Fredericksburg. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. So, folks, that's going to do it for us this week on Pull the Trigger. We will definitely be back to longer podcasts soon enough where we're bantering. Right now, we're just sweltering.
Or else we can just keep bantering for a half an hour and see how the heat gets to us.
No. I am not trying to get a hospital
IV. I'm a puddle.
London Calling and Exodus were two records that don't just speak truth to power. They demand action. I think they're iconic records, which is kind of leaning me towards next week. Did we want to do Public Enemies? It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back in NWA Straight Out of Compton to follow up on this? Yeah. Or did we want to go in a different direction?
That could be fun.
NWA Straight Out of Compton for me is an awesome joyride of an album. It's also a lot of anger. And then ironically, the Express Yourself track that Dre raps on, which sounds nothing like the rest of the album. Right. It was like, we need a single. Dre, put together
funny.
A beat.
Oh, that's funny.
And then you have It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, which is
Flavor
just
Flav and Chuck D.
Just, yeah.
Terminator X.
I love how you see, like,
911 is a joke.
Oh, yeah, the funny, like, thing, what was it? Flavor Flav, and he was at Flavor of Love that he did on VH1 yes. or whatever.
I watched it all, Trigger.
Same year. He's I'm not character. Even going to lie.
Yeah, I know.
Not even going to lie.
He's a character. Yeah.
Yep.
But then you sit there, and then you listen to that album. It's just hard to believe. You're like, that's the same guy that's on It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. Because that is such a serious, like, that's not a joke album. Like, it is. The title gives a dead giveaway that, hey, we're not messing around with this album. Mm-hmm. And,
wouldn't Flav be like the X Factor? Because, you know, Chuck D's the one that's...
Yeah, well, that, and also you have to consider the fact that he's a multi-instrumentalist. He can play 13 instruments, Flavor Flav,
okay.
And play them well. That's the crazy part.
Of course he is. Of course he does.
Was Prince one of his teachers?
No. I don't know. I'm thinking he might actually be older than Prince.
Silly me.
Well, Prince could play 31, is what he claimed. This is 13.
Oh, they said Chris. Like, yes, I can. No.
Yeah, Prince.
He drew a 31. They say he's trying too hard, and he's not quite hip.
Isn't that Bloodhound Gang?
Offspring, when they got bad.
Oh.
Give it to me, baby.
Oh.
Give it to me, baby.
See, this will be fun for half an hour. We're just going to give you all delirium here.
I'm pouring a flower for a vodka.
I am now drinking rubbing alcohol. No, I'm just kidding. I was actually hand lotion.
I had a Baja Blast, which is probably the same thing as hand sanitizer, but it's delicious.
It's pretty.
Well, anything else to...
For sure.
Anything on the mind to rant about? Just to make it for a little more time? Like, it's just in general, like like the beginning, where we talk about things going on.
Oh, my God. Don't really have that much to rant about. I mean, I'm...
They did announce, I'm going to say, the whole Future Ruins thing is coming up in November. It's a festival with
Trent Reznor.
Trent's doing it, but it's all...
Oh,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Howard Shore's performing something. Danny Elfman's doing his soundtrack.
Yeah, it's going to be
Danny Elfman? Sorry.
Okay.
Married that girl that was on the show Dharma and Greg, Jenny Elfman or Jenna Elfman.
Jenna Elfman.
Yeah, that's
Is that true?
Bridget Fonda.
What?
I thought Bridget Fonda was his wife.
I don't know. I thought that
she
was...
is. Yeah.
Elfman just is coincident with Jenna.
Really?
Are they related?
Well, I thought they were.
Are they brother and sister? Or something?
I don't know.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
Yeah.
Jenna Elfman.
I thought they were married.
Or unless I totally met. At one point, it was with Bridget.
No, I think it's Bridget, yeah.
And then.
But it looks like a cool show. And not a concept, but it's only going to be in LA. So.
But, I'll keep going on this while you all find that out.
You go on it.
So Joe Strummer was screaming about the clampdown. Marley was urging us to move out of Babylon.
Danny's her uncle in law.
Uncle in law? So, related ish.
By name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both albums, though, they prove the same point. Music isn't just expression, it's resistance. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to thank you all for hanging out with us. If you're digging what we do, shoot us an email at trickandtrashrocket@gmail.com.
Trick and trash. Mm-hmm. It's the best thing since Dylan and the Dead.
And,
and if you have any questions or recommendations or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, we should mention that I believe tomorrow is May 18th, right?
Right. Ian Curtis and Chris Cornell both took their lives on May 18th. They did. Oh, that's not where you were going with this, was it?
But
the Chris Cornell one hurt me so much.
Yeah, no, I get it, yeah.
Well, you know.
But I'm glad you were born, Hodge.
Wait, are you saying something else about May 18th?
Yeah, May 18th. Yes. Isn't
happy birthing day, Hodge's mother.
Is it? Yeah, isn't that also the same day? Isn't that also the same day that Cain loses his mind over?
What?
Cain, remember that it was the Katie Vick thing?
Oh, you're on WWE. Like, was that on the 18th?
I don't know. It's like I forget. It was like they said some date or whatever. May 19th. Never mind. It was a day after.
Oh, it's the day after. WWE. They're like, oh, really pushing something there.
Let me tell you, that was a captivating storyline.
It's 3:23, I think, in the afternoon.
3:23.
I think
I'm 155.
And I'll give you all a hint.
23.
And then in the following year, it's the, oh God, the next decade.
So 5-0.
I know people like Nathaniel, and I feel better. I feel life goes on.
So I guess, you know.
Just keep going.
For a good many years, tomorrow would have been all about drinking Boddingtons and listening to Unknown Pleasures. I'm still going to listen to Unknown Pleasures tomorrow.
Yes, we would go to a bar that had one of those
the
digital
nitro
ones. Well, I mean, for the what do they call those? The
digital jukebox.
Digital jukebox, right? And we would just listen to Joy Division. And at first, it was weird the first couple of years, but funny.
Yeah.
That we listened to a guy all for the reason that he killed himself on the same day as my birthday, but it was funny. We did this even at
it was Barley Stone. We did it there.
Barley Stone, yes.
I wish I knew you guys.
We were
so George understood, and he walked.
He was like,
"Oh."
But yeah, like, he read a book, Perfect from Now On.
And now Soundgarden to it.
Yeah, Perfect from Now On, and he said every May 18th that he would listen to Unknown Pleasures and drink Boddingtons because I think it's a Manchester beer.
Boddingtons, yeah. Mm. Who said that?
It was the author from Perfect from Now On. Remember the book?
Oh, the book,
first words,
yes.
It starts, I hate Perfect Bob Dylan, but not for the reason.
Not the reason. I forgot what the... I have that in storage.
Yeah,
Perfect
I loaned that
on.
Book to an ex, and I never got it back.
Oh, and you want mine if I find it?
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, so, oh well.
Is the person in town? Maybe I can
yeah,
knock on their
is.
Door.
Yes, she
said hey,
is it,
I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah. So she has it, but
all right.
Know.
Text me later,
and then
I know a very good person. It'd be great to show up at the door and start a thing. If she was in the area still, I'd say send Rose.
No,
I know Rose.
I don't have any beef with anybody. So
I'm just kidding.
You know.
And she was nice too. The person I think you're talking about.
Yeah. And I was kind of the asshole at that time, so I really can't be.
I mean,
yeah.
I can see that.
Now that we're
trigger.
Years later, sure. Okay.
It's kind of on me. So
yeah, I'm
you were a
surprised.
Different person, but you come a long way.
Yeah, I mean, then
I'm glad
I was
to know
you. Kind of the asshole.
Now.
So
I said about two of you at the same time. I knew Billy as well. You've come a long way.
Oh yeah.
Kind of the asshole. So it's kind of on me. I'm not even gonna. That's kind of the point, folks. I know I'm rambling on. At this point, thanks
point.
For hanging out with
doing?
Us.
All right, what else can we talk about?
Next week, let's do it. We'll do the angry rap albums, and it'll keep on going with that.
Since you know
so make sure you tune into that. Hopefully, we're doing it in a slightly cooler place.
Yeah.
Until then, for Hodge and Monster, I'm Trigger, reminding you that life is too short for bad coffee and bad music. And with that, we'll see you next time.